to Real Career Talk. I'm your host, Phil Perkett. This is a monthly podcast brought to you by The Network, where we spend an hour each month having formal discussion around career hot topics, including talent development, pillars for 2020, emotional intelligence education, skill development, and networking with prominent leaders in business and our community. Today, I am honored to have with us Shabeth Okone, AVP of Sales Mobility, and Quincy Hancock, Director of Network Operations. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
All right. Let's have fun. And in the same way, let's be powerful in this moment, right? All right. So as you all probably are aware, if you listened to any of our previous podcasts, you know this question is coming. I like to start my morning off with my preferred drink of a dark roast misto with a few pumps of hazelnut and sometimes sprinkled with a little cinnamon. Talk to me this morning, Shabeth. Let me know, what is it that you are starting your morning out with?
All right. Well, good morning. I start my morning with a cup of Joe that was from New York. So it's espresso. Mm-hmm. Actually, I use these espresso beans to create this beautiful blend for my morning coffee with a complement of coconut cream. See? And a little half and half. And one sugar cube. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now that sounds wonderful. I'm there with you. I loved your description. I was there. It was vivid. I was looking at the espresso beans. That's what I'm talking about. I was there with the cube. It took me back to Hawaii. Okay. So the sugar farm. All right. So Quincy, come on now. What you starting your morning off with?
Man, look, that's gonna make me break my diet here, man. So I typically start my day with a bulletproof coffee. So I've got a little butter and 4 packs of stevia and just plain old coffee blended together and poured over light ice to get it a little cool for me. I don't like my coffee too hot, but certainly it gives me a burst of energy in the morning, and since my day started early today, I need it more today than I normally do. So, but Shabeth, man, that sounded good. I may have to try take your recipe with me next time.
Yes. Now Quincy, my hands are up in the air because I've had a stop the presses moment. Did you say butter?
Yeah.
You put butter in your coffee.
Butter. And I forgot to mention my MCT oil. So it's packed with what we call good fat.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now you're taking me back to my dad days. My dad used to put cheddar cheese in his coffee. He was from North Carolina. It made no sense to me. I don't get it at all. But he used to put cheddar cheese. So I'm talking about messing up your diet. Yes. Mm. And a few other things, actually. But butter, that's pretty awesome. Come on now. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's a clap for you there, Quincy. I'm there. I'm still with the espresso beans and the sugar cube, but that butter, yeah. I have to take a moment.
Yeah,
I'm going to try
like
that.
Look, that was that's a better recipe. I think I may have to try it on one of my off days.
On one of his off days. I like that. One of your off days. All right. It's a great way to start the morning. So it's great to find out what we like to do, what we like to, how we want to start our morning off. One thing I always say, let's be powerful in that moment. And I share that now. Let's be powerful in this moment because I believe you all are brilliant in your own way, and you have a lot to share with our audience, the network. Let's get started with our first question. Shabeth, I want to start with you. How critical is exhibiting emotional intelligence and effectively working with others?
Oh, wow. Great question. It is required, right? So you're asking, how critical is it? We are in the business of creating connections. And in order to create those connections, emotional intelligence, in my opinion, is table stakes, right? So when you start to think about creating connections, why is it important? Why is it critical? I think of the African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Right. And so in my opinion, emotional intelligence allows us to connect. And when we connect with others, it allows us to create purpose. And that purpose allows us to reach our goals. Right. And we're all here to reach our goals.
Excellent. I love that. That's a keeper. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Awesome. Awesome words to start us off. And Quincy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think, you know, whether you're in a leadership role or whether you're an individual contributor or, you know, an entrepreneur, without the ability to truly understand your own emotions and empathize with the emotions of others, you're going to have a hard time motivating teams, galvanizing relationships to build the type of business that you may want and to be successful. I think that, you know, it becomes extremely difficult for us as team members to work together if we really can't understand the perspective of others and really and I think it also hurts us in that we won't have the ability to get our points across, right? I mean, you know, if we can't, you know, put our emotions in check and understand what others are saying to us in a way that helps us, you know, kind of bridge the gap or fill in that gulf that sometimes exists in heated conversations, we're going to have a hard time reaching goals individually and collectively.
Mm-hmm. So Quincy, talk to me. You're showing emotional. Finish this sentence for me. You're showing emotional intelligence in business when you
listen to understand, when you empathize with the other person's perspective and you seek to put yourself in their shoes before you make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Think about that. You listen to understand, because it's interesting. I often said in my leadership classes with AT&T University, we're in an era where we really listen to respond.
Yeah.
Not necessarily listen to understand.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I'm sorry, Quincy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the first things is, you know, as I've learned and grew over the years that I've had to, you know, practice even more and in leadership roles, especially, you know, really to listen to what other people are saying. And our habit is typically to listen to respond or listen to rebut. But if we really want to get the most out of the relationships we're building, and that's what we're doing in every facet of life, we've got to try to suppress our desire to respond, react to what someone's saying, and really listen so that we can get the gist of what they're trying to communicate to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Just getting the gist of it. I love that. So, Shabeth, talk to me. When you show emotional intelligence when in business, you show emotional intelligence when?
Yeah, I think, you know, he hit the nail on the head there. You show emotional intelligence in business when you are able to empathize with others. And when you ask open-ended questions, right? Mm-hmm. He said, when we listen, we have to listen to what our teams, our colleagues, right? To what they are saying. Listen and then act. And I think the other way that we can display emotional intelligence is to really accept feedback, right? And so we're asking open-ended questions, but let's really think through the feedback, pause for a moment, and really hear what we are being told, right? That's the way that we can display emotional intelligence. And in addition to that, I think it's really important to give feedback. right? And to be specific, mm-hmm. when we're giving that feedback, it shows that we are listening. It shows that we are engaged, and it shows that we are committed to their success and their excellence as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Shabeth, what impact, with that said, talk to me about in your experience. I know we have seen where oftentimes Patrick Lencioni says in talking about dysfunctions of teaming, when he talks about trust, when he talks about components necessary to be effective, one of the things that he talks about is, hey, listen, as opposed to defining what it is, let's talk about first what it's not. So my question to you is, what impact does someone who lacks emotional intelligence have on a team or a cross-functional team?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It wreaks havoc on a team. It destroys morale. It is demotivating. It does not unify the team. And mm-hmm. it can cause chaos, right? You can literally, have you ever heard, I'm sure you have, the phrase, one bad apple can mm-hmm. spoil the entire mm-hmm. bunch? mm-hmm. Especially when you have a leader who is unable to empathize, unwilling to listen, mm-hmm. not engaging, not self-aware, it can literally destroy an organization and a team or a business, right? It destroys mm-hmm. relationships. And we know mm-hmm. that relationships move us forward. Right. Mm-hmm. So and not having the EI, it destroys that.
Mm-hmm. Quincy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, it all to me, when you talk emotional intelligence and our ability to put our emotions in check, if anyone on the team lacks that, then you're going to break down the communication barrier. There's going to be tons of communication barriers. You're going to break it down. And without that communication, it's going to be impossible for that individual to get their points across. It's going to be impossible for those that are part of the team or part of that initiative to get their point across, which is ultimately going to prevent us from getting to the best and most effective solution to whatever problem is being discussed. So, having anyone on the team without that ability to check their emotions, understand what's driving their emotions and understand what others are trying to communicate to them it'll bust a play up, as we say mm-hmm. in football, right? I mean, if you're mm-hmm. a defensive player, you try to bust that play up. So just an emotionally intelligent person that relaxed emotionally intelligence is like that linebacker coming through and knocking the quarterback on their butt because they're trying to mess it up for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. interesting. You yeah. said it in the manner you did. So think about what Quincy said. We've heard the show, you are the weakest link, right? Mm-hmm. You look at it. It is devastating to Shabeth's point. You know, you have team members that are lacking in emotional intelligence. And we can talk about the impact from a team member standpoint, but it's even more devastating when a leader mm-hmm. is lacking. From an emotional intelligence standpoint, with that emotional intelligence skill set or quality. So what's the best way to de-escalate? Let's talk about that for a few moments here, Quincy. What's the best way from your point of view to de-escalate an encounter with someone who is lacking emotional intelligence? And I want you to look at it as two ways, because there are some caveats that can come into a play. And I'm going to throw a curveball at you all. Let's talk about it from the point of, you know, you have peers that are lacking in emotional intelligence. You have a peer level. But what mm-hmm. if you also are a person, from Shabeth's point of view, that she was bringing up, you are a team member dealing with the leader and then vice versa, for our leadership. I don't want to leave them out. How do they de-escalate when you have one from a leadership perspective dealing with a person on their team? So I'm throwing a curveball at you today, but I want you to answer in that way, and I think it'll be beneficial for our audience. Go ahead.
Yes. So we've talked about kind of listening, right? And you know, I think that's you know, just a basic one, but I think we got to stick to the facts. I mean, I don't care whether it's the individual dealing with the leader, you're dealing with the peer. You know, the main thing I think that has helped me in the past is really sticking to what are we really talking about here, right? And sensing what that person's position is based upon their voice tones. If I'm in the room with them, then I can see their body language. I'm trying to read all of that to understand how passionate are they? Or, you know, is it passion because they just dislike me? Is it a passion because they dislike the conversation? Is it just that they don't want to engage at all? But whatever is driving that behavior, whatever emotion is driving that behavior, I think the main thing is we gotta stick to the facts and redirect the conversation each time. And to do that, to effectively de-escalate, I think that there has to be a very high level of self-awareness, which is a high degree of emotional intelligence ourselves, in order to keep our emotions in check while we're discerning what's going on, right? Because if we can't keep our emotions in check, then we're not going to be able to move that person back to the center so that we can keep moving forward and not get derailed in whatever the emotion of the moment is driving us to. So I think the first main thing is everybody's got to agree on the facts, right? These are the things that we're talking about. And if we get outside that box, we got to get back in the box and talk about it even more. If we get out and keep doing that, right? Because sometimes that emotion is helpful. And I think that's the other part of that is when we're listening, we got to listen for what's not being said. I mean, they're communicating something to us through their emotion or their reaction that isn't necessarily productive. How do we take that, apply it to the fact, and move us in the direction we need to go?
Mm-hmm. But one more thing, Quincy, but I am emotional.
Yeah.
You know, I am one that will raise my voice and sometimes don't even realize I'm raising my voice, right? Yeah. But it's because of the emotional side in me, the passion. That emotional person would tell you, it's the passion in me. So my brother, who's kind of like, he's kind of like facts and black and white. He said, I don't need all that emotion. Let's just keep the emotion out of it. Come on now. Yep. Talk to me. Talk to me. Wait, Quincy, you were going to say something.
I resemble that remark. So when I get passionate, I get loud, right? I get louder and louder and louder. And one thing, actually, my little brother kind of taught me this. I saw him do it and I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. And what happened was we were having a heated discussion and he actually took his voice down, right? He intentionally took his voice down and started kind of whispering. And I've applied that, right? Because I know that just raising your voice sometimes, creates a feeling in people that may trigger a situation where someone's raised their voice at them and they may not intend, right, to react to us a certain way, but the situation we put them in may have triggered something that took them out of character. So I think we got to do those types of, take those exercises and recognize if I'm passionate and I know my voice raises when I get passionate, I know that tone might stifle the conversation. Then I've got to do some intentional things to make sure that I'm not being the problem in the conversation.
Mm, that's a great point. I love that last point. I want to make sure I'm not the problem. And that's interesting. That's a point of view that we are. Are we there? Do you think we're there? So let me go to Shabeth real quick. So remember, Shabeth, it's peer to peer. It's peer to leader and leader to their direct reports. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to de-escalate?
Yeah. Oh, that was so good, Quincy. I really loved when you talked about your brother's example, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to start there because I get excited easily. And I also just talk loud, right? My mom is hard of hearing. I talk to her every day. Right. And I'm always screaming so that she can hear what I'm saying. And so I just talk loud. And so I had to become very mindful and self-aware of my tone and my voice and the volume. And I'm very intentional when I am displeased or upset to bring my voice down, mm-hmm. not to talk loud, to almost bring it down to a whisper so that one, I don't trigger any emotions in anyone. And two, so that I don't also create or give any evidence of stereotypes that may exist for someone who looks like me. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm always mm-hmm. very, very conscious of that. So, and that's really important. That's one of the tenets of emotional intelligence. It's being aware, right? Having an understanding of your own emotions, how you process information, what triggers you. mm-hmm. So that you can then respond appropriately. I think that's good. Yeah. The other thing I'd say is Quincy is on it this morning. That bullet coffee, I'm going to have to try it because he's on it. He talked about focusing on the facts and not feelings. And I 100% agree with that. And I would add to that, assume that people had the best of intentions, like assume yes. good intent. Because when you assume good intent, then that allows for empathy.
That's right.
Right? And so think about it. You don't know what happened to me this morning. Maybe I had a flat tire. Maybe I received a text message with terrible news from a friend or family. Maybe I received that phone call that I've been dreading. Maybe I'm having challenges in some of my relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Especially now during COVID, perhaps mm-hmm. I'm here alone and I've been in my house for the past 4 months and I just need to connect with someone, get out. Mm-hmm. I think assuming good and assuming that people have the best intentions opens the door for conversations, and it opens the door for us to be more empathetic in understanding that, hey, I don't know, there could be something else underlying here. Let mm-hmm. me just ask, and let me approach this with the assumption that they had the best intentions.
So wait a minute, Shabazz, I got to mess with you. Because okay. you said assume good intent, but that is so not normal. Because we naturally assume the worst, do we not? Do y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's human nature. Mm-hmm. We automatically think of the worst thing, right? Mm-hmm. But when the power of empathy is that it allows you to become so self-aware that you're understanding this isn't about you, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, often when we assume the worst, then we're most likely making it about us. Well, they didn't want me to be successful anyway. They never mm-hmm. wanted to help me on this project. She gave me an attitude. So you're making it about you. But if you take a step back and mm-hmm. you actually make it about the person, it allows you to empathize and go, you know, I don't know what they're going through right now or what's going on in their personal life. I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's power in that.
So now talk to me real quick, Shabazz. That's powerful in the word, what your words you're using here for our audience. What about those who are, and I want specifically both of you all are leaders in your realm, in your businesses. If you have a direct report, and both of you all say, now, you said, Quincy, you raise your voice when you're talking. You said, you know, it was interesting how you say why you raise your voice. Often, Shabazz. So what if you have a person that doesn't know you and they're coming into a room, and that's what we're hearing. We're in a heated debate. We're hearing a discussion and it gets intense. And now they're sitting there going, well, I'm not going to say anything. How does that person deal with that leader who might not be too keen on their awareness, on their own self-awareness and how they're coming across to others, to your point? Encourage that follower, how do they deal with that leader in those moments? What do you think? Either one of them.
Yeah, I'll jump in on it if you don't mind, Quincy.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, you know, the same emotions or the same thing that we would expect from our leaders, we have to display as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to give that leader grace. We need to ensure that, you know, that leader, we're thinking, you know, we may have doubts, but we need to assume that that leader has the best of intentions. And we need to give that leader some grace in understanding that maybe they really just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Right. And model the behavior that we want them to demonstrate to us. And then in addition to that, I think, you know, we have to just make sure that we're sticking to the facts.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Don't allow emotions to take over. Stick to the facts and show some empathy.
Yep. And I love the empathetic piece of it, because we don't know what people are going through. And that goes for, you know, whether it's the individual contributor working for a supervisor that isn't able to show the emotional intelligence that they need to, or whether it's, you know, me and my EVP. I think that, you know, what I try to do, and hopefully I pray that I do it well, is I try to be the example, like you said, Shabeth, that I want I want to be the example of how I want people to treat me. Right. And I think in doing that, you might not change that person, because I have a saying that I say with my three grown children: you can't make grown people do what they don't want to do. Right. So if this individual doesn't want to change, that's fine. But you can't let them bring you out of who you are. You got to stay true to who you are, stay true to your values. And if you know that you're smart enough to know how to react, even when your boss is not reacting in the right way. I'm not saying that any of us should take disrespect or not call it out for what it is. But I think the way in which we do it has to be smart. It has to be calculated. It has to be in a way that we're trying to coach up. And that's a whole nother. Another skill that we have to learn, and that's how to coach people that even have supervision over us, in to help them understand how to deal with us. You know, it's not easy. I mean, it's a difficult and challenging question, because here's an individual that, you know, that has some authority over you at work, and you're seeing their behavior not line up with where you think it should be, and you're trying to figure out how to help them help you, right? And I think you've got to one, stay true to yourself. You've got to find those opportunities to ask questions, right? Maybe ask some questions of that leader that might give you deeper insight into why they react the way they react. It may be that, hey, you know, they're the way they grew up was such that's how they saw authority. It may not mean that they mean you any disrespect. It's just the way in which they've learned to live their life here. In the body that they're in. So I think to find some understanding about why they react the way they react will probably help in that quest to coach up and help them even develop their emotional intelligence as well.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question about this. So I think, Shabeth, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Quincy hit that, right? Because don't take it personal. You can't, when we, and it is personal sometimes, but when we don't take it personally, it allows us to be more objective and to remain level-headed. And what I found is that when others are losing their wit, when they are just losing it, if you are able to just remain level-headed, it has a way of recentering them, right? And more often than not, if anyone has just an inch of emotional intelligence, they will come back and apologize for their actions, and they will also self-correct. They'll just course correct based on how you responded to them.
Yep, I agree.
Now, wait a minute. Now, y'all using quips in here that's making me really ponder. So earlier, Quincy said, be true to yourself, you know, and I immediately went to my upbringing and, you know, what is it, boys? I got to be real. I got to keep it real. You know, I'm shaking my head. I want y'all, for the audience out there, I got to keep it real, you know. Stop. Yeah, stop. Okay, so, and then Shabeth said, don't take it personal. But wait a minute, I'm all personal. I'm all of these emotions and so forth are in me. And I get what you're saying, but to your point that you just stated, which is so important, is our understanding and really taking it seriously, understanding emotional intelligence, understanding that we have to raise our own self-awareness, you know, of how we're coming across along with others around us. It's very powerful what you all are saying here. So, I'm be true to myself. I'm sorry. That's good. All right. So
we want you to be true to yourself, right? Because guess what? Everybody else is already taken. So the only person you can be every day is who you are. The only thing I'm saying is, you know, let's bring that collective power of who we are and understand, and understand that sometimes we have to be empathetic to those who are, for lack of better terms, they're emotionally ignorant. Mm-hmm. They just so don't get it.
I got to ask you this question real quick before we go to our next one. So, depending on which podcast you listened to earlier, some of our leaders have stated and some of the experts have stated there really is no generational differences. Do you believe that generational, you know, your generation in which you were raised might have an impact on your awareness of self and how it impacts emotional intelligence? I know I just threw another curveball at you all, but I'm interested.
Ooh, that's good. So
I'm drinking bullet. No, it's myself. Okay, all right.
Well, you know, I'll speak for me, right? And I would say absolutely it has, the way I was raised in my generation, it has an impact, right? Mm-hmm. Because just so my dad, served in the Army, right? So retired from the Army. Then he did an additional 20 years of civil service. And so his perspective, right, was very different. And of course, he imparted that perspective on me. And so he taught me, right? So yes, you respect authority. So authoritative figures, perhaps it's your boss, your leadership team, right? You ask questions, but you can do so respectfully, right? And that I still learned that there's a time and place for everything. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. And it goes back to that being authentic. Some of us think, I have to be me. I just have to be me. You do have to be you. You are you, but everything you think isn't meant to be spoken aloud. Right. Mm-hmm. Some things should just be between you and your private thoughts.
I agree.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's heavy there.
Yeah. And kind of to jump in there, I think that the generations can be different. I mean, how each generation has what they have experienced in their time span does have an influence. But I think to Shabeth's point, I think is that it's our life experiences that I think has a more profound effect on our ability to either grow in our emotionally intelligence or not. You know, as I got ready for this, I thought about, you know, how I react to things now. How did, you know, the things I've been through help me get there? And I think that, you know, as a kid, you know, hey, my parents were together. But my mom took care of my grandmother. So I learned how not to, I wanted to make sure I didn't make their lives any harder. And as I thought about that, I thought about, man, you know, that probably instilled in me a level of an ability, I guess I should say, to, to suppress some things and hold it in. Just like you said, Shabeth, some things I just don't need to say and some things mm-hmm. I just don't need to do because it's going to have an effect on somebody else. Right. And it, and, mm-hmm. and emotional intelligence to me is really being able to collect that quickly and then decide mm-hmm. very quickly whether you are or are not going to say or do whatever your mind and body is wanting you to do. So I think mm-hmm. it can be generational, but I think it's also, you know, very much the environment in which we grow, and the experiences in which we have throughout our lives and whether we decide to learn, what do we decide to learn from those experiences? Right. Mm-hmm. Because you can learn bad, you know, in the same example I gave, I could have learned some bad things too. And I probably did that show up sometimes when I don't want them to, but, right. but for the most part, you know, we try, to Shabeth's point earlier. I think people try their very best to do their very best and to give their very best. I don't think people wake up in the morning. Most people, I'm not going to say all, but most people wake mm-hmm. up in the morning thinking about how they're going to mess somebody's day up. Right. It mm-hmm. happens. It happens unintentionally. Right. It's somebody mm-hmm. cutting me off. So now I'm mad. Right. So mm-hmm. it's those types of experiences that not only shape how we react over time. But it's also those things shape how we react that day, right? I mean, something happened today that could have threw me off and my day's off for the rest of the day. So anybody I come in contact is going to feel that wrath, right? But I do think I don't think it's so much generational. I think it's more the experience.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you bring up a good point, right? That made me think of almost an emotional maturity.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Or that emotional revelation of understanding. You know, if I say this, right, well, let me unpack this. So it's the emotional maturity of understanding how important is this, mm-hmm. right? Do I need to fix it now mm-hmm. or can it be fixed later, right? Yeah. And so yeah. the example I'll give is I lead a sales team. And mm-hmm. so sometimes I'll get urgent calls or emails and people are in a panic about items. And or things, and I go, okay, let's take a step back, right? And because mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it from the overall big picture, right? This is easy. We can solve this easy, right? But it depends on the emotional maturity and the perspective and the life experiences, right, that a person has had that mm-hmm. shapes that narrative. So it's either fix it now, or can I do it later, or does it need to be done at all? And then that makes me think of, you know, how important is it in 15 minutes? Is this going to matter?
Yeah.
Right. In
excellent
1 month,
point.
Is it going to matter in 1 year, in 5 years? And so that helps you understand what should I share? How should I share it? And what is the impact of me sharing? Does it add any value? I think we should always ask, will this add value? Will it help us reach our goal? Will it help me go where I'm trying to go? If not, then we probably don't need to share it.
Mm. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Excellent. Excellent point. So you all are coming with it hot and heavy today, and I appreciate it. And it is about being powerful in this moment. So we've talked about being self-aware. We've talked about sticking to the facts. We've talked about it. And Shabeth just added having some emotional maturity in regards to where we are in that moment. So as leaders, let's go back to being that leader, the leaders that are in our audience. Is it easy to spot someone who is lacking emotional intelligence? I know we've been talking about it, but let's talk practical. And I want to combine the next question. How do you, as the leader, coach that person? Is it easy to identify it? What does it look like practically? And I've heard someone say, you know, we're not talking over each other. Okay. Are there any other indicators that you'd like to share? And what should that leader do to coach them? And what if it's not working? Let's start with you, Quincy.
I think it can be for me a little challenging to recognize, you know, a lack of emotional intelligence just in a moment. I think it's got to be, you know, an observed behavior over a period of time or consistently shown behaviors. And it could be more than just one thing. I mean, you know, it could be that they're talking over people, but it and kind of dominating a conversation. But I think we also got to look at, you know, hey, are they really able to build relationships with their peers or with partner organizations? If we've got to work across functional teams, are they, you know, having a hard time staying focused on the topic at hand without having to shift the conversation to what they did or didn't do or what others did wrong? I think we got to look at the body of work of the individual to really spot it. But once we spot it, I think the first thing that we've got to do is make sure, like we've said before you engage in that coaching experience, you got to make sure your emotional intelligence belt is tight itself. Because when you go in and you're starting to challenge someone on their personal behavior, you can absolutely expect that, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, the backs are going to bow up. And they're going to, the first reaction is going to be a defensive reaction. If you're not prepared for that defensive reaction, then, you know, you may lose the opportunity to really help that person, which is why I think the main thing, if you're going to coach, is you got to have a personal relationship with that individual. I don't care who it is. If you're trying to impart some knowledge or wisdom on them, they got to trust you as a subject matter expert, or at least someone that is not trying to do them harm. They've got to understand that you want the best for them, just like they want the best for them. So, you know, in those formal coaching sessions, you know, you can give them reading material, you know, tell them what you've seen and what you've observed, ask them questions about maybe how or what they were feeling during that time, you know, what could they have done differently, and then just create some checkpoints, formal checkpoints. But I think the most important part of it is, once you've built that relationship, is being able to have some spontaneous coaching opportunities, being able to after a call out good behavior too, right? You know, say, hey, you did an excellent job on that call. I know, you know, so-and-so, you know, really, really kind of came after you and you kept your composure and got your point across very well. But also being able to use those same opportunities to give near real time feedback on how might they do better. And the other thing I think we got to be, as leaders, have to be mindful of are those people that are antagonizing those individuals with that may be challenged with their emotional IQ. Those individuals also need to be called out and coached, because there's probably some component there that may not show up in the same way, but it is absolutely hurting the team and it's hurting that individual. And it could be, you know, what they call in the 360 assessments, a fatal flaw for the low IQ person. But it may just be, you know, just a low pole in the tent for the individual that's antagonizing. Either way, I think we got to make sure that we're creating an environment where that individual that may be struggling with their emotional intelligence can truly grow without the negative behavior of others.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent points. You're about to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I echo everything Quincy just said.
I agree.
And I think, you know, it's important that we encourage others to take ownership. Right? And that can sometimes be really challenging for them to do. And I love what he said about being specific and sharing those specific examples. And I also enjoy role playing. Right? So role playing one-on-one. Let's talk this back. Right. Let's walk through this scenario. Let's reverse the roles. How would that have made you feel? How would you like it if? Right. And then we could also give very specific assignments. Right. Because it's hard to change if you're not trying to exercise that muscle. Right. So we have to give them an opportunity to exercise that muscle, to exercise what we're expecting, because it is going to be uncomfortable for them. And we're all creatures of habit and we enjoy being comfortable. Right. And so we have to encourage them to be uncomfortable. Right. And give very specific assignments which allow them to get uncomfortable in a safe space, so that we can continue to be very specific, share those examples, and give them that specific feedback so that they can improve.
But now, Shabeth, to your point, can I ask you something? I hate to jump in here.
Yeah, no,
do.
Please.
But you, so wait a minute, get uncomfortable, but I like to avoid, I avoid, it's, it, I innately avoid conflict. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm an introvert. What do I do?
Mm-hmm. You just stick to the facts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because emotions are confrontational. The facts are just the facts. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, and I agree. I think because I would consider myself an introvert. So I agree. I think that, you know, the one thing as an introvert, you've just got to recognize that you've got to go attack that problem. And it goes back to something Shabazz said earlier is I think you got to figure out the time. And is it something you absolutely cannot live with or something that you absolutely feel is important enough to say at that point in time? And if it is, then you've got to get the energy up to go have that conversation. And when you do have it, make sure the facts are what you're trying to get through and make your point clear and concise. And then that makes it easier because if you go in with a lot of extra detail, sometimes you end up, you know, not getting out of the conversation what you need. So if you're going to do it, you know, make sure you got the energy to do it. Make sure you go in with the topic that you want to attack and make sure it's something that you absolutely feel like you absolutely have to deal with if you're gonna do it, because it's gonna, for introvert, you're gonna spend some energy on that may deplete you. So you got to be careful, mm-hmm. you know, about where you spend that energy and on whom you spend that energy.
Excellent point. Because when you get into this kind of conversation, there's crucial conversations, talks to understanding that if you're going to engage in this discussion, it is intense. It probably can be quite exhausting. And you really want to make sure that if I give this time, that it's going to be productive. I want to make sure that I've checked myself, right? I was watching this movie the other day. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? How many of y'all remember that, right? You know, I check myself and I'm also self-aware. I'm self-aware and I'm also aware of others. And that's very important. All great points when we're talking about emotional intelligence. So I'm that leader. I'm that leader that's been working on it. I'm working on it. And I really want to, I want to make sure that I'm on the right path. Sum up for me the conversation that we're having today. Sum up for me, Shabazz and Quincy. Sum up for me in this manner. How do I know that I'm on the right path to becoming that emotionally intelligent leader, or the words that we use today, emotionally mature leader? What are some of the characteristics and that's necessary in leading teams and advancing the business today?
I'll jump in. So, you know, for me, the most important one, well, probably two important ones for me is being able to empathize, and really not empathize the way we, you know, may send a card or something like that, but really, really taking the time and the energy to understand another person's perspective. And, you know, we can take this be, you know, from leading our teams to how we try and get to know other people of different backgrounds, which quite frankly is also a part of leading our teams, because we all come from some different background, whether it's, you know, where we grew up or our skin color or our religion or whatever. So I think we got to understand people's perspectives, you know, personally, but also, in the topic that we're talking about. And we've got to be smart enough to understand, you know, when it's just about this topic and when there's other factors that are causing a debate or a discussion to go in a direction we may not want it to be. And the other part of that is, you know, once you've got that empathy, you got to be concerned about it. And I actually added, you know, be concerned to my guiding principles a couple of years ago. Because I think that it is something that I wanted to work on is truly wanting and desiring to know how people feel, how people feel about, you know, what's going on in the business, what's going on in our team, what's going on with this particular situation, outage or whatever we're working with, so that then we can work together to figure out where the true problems are and then go attack those problems. So those are probably the two I would lay on the table. Certainly being authentic is important. You know, I tend to try and be a very positive person. So You know, I'm probably my team will probably say I'm more optimistic than I should be sometimes, but I think that that's also something that we've got to be able to show with some positivity, even in a negative situation. There's as we all know the old saying, there's a silver lining around that cloud somewhere, and we've got to be able to also help others find that sometimes, because you know it's easy to get bogged down with all that's going on. So,
Shabbat.
I would say, you know, and I think we said this earlier, but research actually said that emotional intelligence is twice as important as technical skills and IQ.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it mm-hmm. is. So you asked, I mean, it's critical. And going back to Quincy's point, I would say you have to be able to empathize, right? Which is simply putting yourself in someone else's shoes. You have to be self-aware, and not only have that self-awareness, but that self-control, mm-hmm. right? And then the third thing that I would say is you have to be able to communicate effectively.
Yes.
Right? And that communication is written, and it is not only verbal, but written communication as well. Mm-hmm. And listening is an act of communication.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, to your point that you just shared there, you all have been powerful. It's been awesome. So we talk about being able to be self-aware. What does that look like? We've talked about being able to understand it. Be emotionally mature in the conversation. I love the fact that you say, hey, does this conversation have to happen right now? Because sometimes it's good to have filters, right? Would y'all agree with me? Sometimes yes. filters is a good thing. It's necessary yes. to be effective in your communication. So I want to give you the opportunity as we're wrapping up our discussion today. You've shared a lot with the audience. What are your, and think about the network here, vast audience out there, your final words that you would share with the audience in regards to emotional intelligence, and also share with them as we wrap up some of the things that you have coming down the pipeline that, you know, that might be important to you. Share with them what you're doing. This is our wrap up time. Let's start with Shabbat.
Oh, I'm thinking. what's important? So, in closing, I'll quote Oprah, right? We all love Oprah. And Oprah said that there's a common denominator in the human experience. And what we all want is to be able to live out the truest, highest expression of ourselves as a human being. And being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes is required in order for us to truly live out the highest expression of humanity. Right? It's just, it's that empathy. You have to have it. And then, you wanted to know, like, what are we doing? What are we doing next? What are we working on these days?
Yes, yes. Tell us about, wrap up about you, Shabbat. Yes.
Wrapping up about me. And so what I am working on in these days of quarantine is raising a 2-year-old. And staying. And, you know, so I'm working on really, you know, it's three things. Right. So we're in quarantine right now, COVID-19. And it's three things, right? It's my family, that I have a 2-year-old and a husband. So they keep me both very busy. It's my health, just coming out of COVID-19 without the COVID-19, and being a healthier person, leaning into my health. And then the last thing is my faith, right? Mm-hmm. And continuing to study and seek understanding and that greater purpose of what I'm here on this earth to do, and understanding what I've been put here to do and who I'm supposed to impact and impart mm-hmm. my knowledge in. That's what I've been working on these days.
Awesome. Very cool. Awesome words. Quincy?
So kind of summing up what we talked about, I ran across this quote as I was reading this week, and it says how people treat you is their karma. How you treat them is yours. And I think that when you think about all that's going on in our lives today, whether it's, you know, the injustices that we see, you know, the COVID challenges that are in front of us, we've got to make sure that how we treat people is how we would want to be treated. And that goes back to the Bible, which, you know, kind of leads into what I'm working on. One of the things that I'm trying to do better at is grow in my faith. I mean, I'm faithful. I know who I believe in and what I believe in, but I do believe that it's an important journey that never ends. So I'm absolutely striving to get better with my service. You know, I'm also looking at, you know, how I can be a better leader. I'm always kind of looking inward and figuring out, you know, what I'm not doing right. I'm my worst enemy. But I have realized that one of the challenges, and I think this is, you know, the longer I live and the more I go through, I realize that, you know, discipline is probably one of the most important keys to my success. I'm not going to say to everybody's, but certainly to mine. So I'm working on being a much more disciplined individual, keeping with my routine more tightly, drinking my bulletproof coffee and making sure I'm healthy first also. But one of the big challenges, so I tore my Achilles tendon in June, so I'm still recovering from that. So I'm looking forward to the point in time when I can walk normal. Absolutely rehabbing my leg is probably a top priority for me at this point, because my wife and I are thinking about going on a cruise in December. We normally do it in December with my dad. So I'm hoping, I don't know. Y'all pray for me on that one. I don't know if I'm going to do it this year. It may be a little too early. So I'm wrestling with that decision also.
Wow. You tore your Achilles. Wow. That's, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, but yeah. I'm glad to hear that you're mending.
Yeah.
And we're going to believe you're going to be powerful even so. All right. Thank you. As we wrap up our session today, thank you so much, Shabeth. Thank you so much, Quincy, you all were powerful, and I appreciate it. What awesome words. We talked about, raising your self-awareness, self-control, and even more so, assume good intent. And having that emotional maturity, what powerful words that you have given to our audience, the network today. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. And I am looking forward to our next session that we have. You know, I think that when you look at some sessions, you hope that that our audience, when the session comes to an end, you know it's been effective when you don't want it to end, right? Come on, talk to me. Yes. Right. All right. So it was powerful words, and I wish we could go on, but we look forward to seeing everyone, hearing from everyone. Go out there and check us out. Look out there for the network. Look out for Real Career Talk series. Go out there and download that series. Look for it. And we look forward to seeing you at the next session. Be powerful. Don't settle for anything less. Have a great day.